Please join with us in the reading of the lighting of the Advent wreath. The Lord is our faith and our life. And his love shine in our hearts.
Our hope is in the coming of the Lord. Therefore the Lord himself will give a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name will be called Emmanuel.
The first candle we light on the Advent wreath has been named the prophecy candle, for it represents the period of waiting that preceded the birth of Christ. Light announces the waiting period that anticipates Christmas and honors those who first spoke the promise of the Christ, God. Their words spark hope in the hearts of the faithful for many generations.
Let us pray that our faith may be strengthened for the coming of the Lord. Please join with me in the Kyrie in this way. Repeat the words after me. Kyrie eleison. Christe eleison. Kyrie eleison. Christe eleison. Lord have mercy. Christ have mercy. Lord have mercy. Christ have mercy. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, now in the time of this mortal life in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal, through him who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated.
Isaiah calls out to God on behalf of the people. They've spent long enough in exile and oppression. They are desperate to be rescued and to be cherished. They see how their own behavior has brought them here, and they are ready to repent. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. The ancient times no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, you are angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and the wind blows our sins, sweeps us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us, and you have given us over to our sins. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. O look on us, we pray, for we are all your people. The word of the Lord. The psalm for today is Psalm 29, found in the bulletin on page 3. Let us read it together. Praise the Lord, you angels. Praise the Lord's glory and power. Praise the Lord for the glory of his name. Worship the Lord because he is holy. The Lord's voice is heard over the sea. The glorious God thunders. The Lord thunders over the ocean. The Lord's voice is powerful. The Lord's voice is majestic. The Lord's voice breaks the trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes the land of Lebanon dance like a calf, and Mount Hermon jump like a baby bull. The Lord's voice makes the lightning flash. The Lord's voice shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The Lord's voice shakes the oaks and strips the leaves off the trees. In his temple, everyone says, glory to God. The Lord controls the flood. The Lord will be king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. The Corinthians are encouraged by the opening words of Paul's letter, that God's Holy Spirit is active in their midst and is a witness to their faithfulness. A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore you do not lack any spiritual gifts as you eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord according to Mark. In this reading, Jesus seems to say that he will return in the lifetime of the of the first Christians, the first generation Christians. And when they saw that that didn't happen, there was concern and confusion. When you hear the text today, which speaks about end times, what Jesus is saying, and this was understood after the first generation had died, that the signs of the end, when they start to come, that generation is the one that will see him come in the clouds. I read from chapter 13, starting at verse 24. During the days after this trouble comes, the sun will grow dark and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Then people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send his angels all around the earth to gather his chosen people from every part of the earth and from every part of heaven. Learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches become green and soft and new leaves appear, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, you will know that the time is near, ready to come. I tell you the truth, all these things will happen while the people of this time are still living. Earth and sky will be destroyed, but the words that I have said will never be destroyed. No one knows when that day or time will be, not the angels in heaven, not even the Son, only the Father. Be careful, always be ready because you don't know when that time will be. It's like a man who goes on a trip. He leaves his house and lets his servant take care of it, giving each one a special job to do. The man tells the servant guarding the door always to be watchful. So always be ready, because you don't know when the owner of the house will come back. It might be in the evening, or at midnight, or in the morning, while it is still dark, or when the sun rises. Always be ready. Otherwise, he might come back suddenly and find you sleeping. I tell you this, and I say this to everyone, be ready. The Gospel of the Lord. I'm glad you're here this morning. It's clear that some people, because of the ongoing pandemic, have stayed home, but I'm glad that you could be here today. I want to share a couple thoughts about getting ready for Christmas. Now, the first Sunday in Advent, isn't it great to be one of the few countries, one of the churches anywhere that has a whole church season named after it? Yeah, thank you for that, Ray. I appreciate it. So, you know, we all have our ways of getting ready. A part of it is shopping. Black Friday wasn't the way that it usually is. It was not as many people were out. Thanksgiving wasn't the way it usually was. Shopping will continue for Christmas. This morning, I just ran across a quote from a revered person whose opinion is always valued. You may remember Bo Derek. She said, "Whoever said money can't buy happiness simply didn't know where to go shopping." Don't agree with that, but I thought it was humorous. A few years ago, I read a book about Christmas by John Grisham that I loved. It was a comedy, but it was called Skipping Christmas. And it was a story of one couple whose daughter was away at college, and they decided to forgo all of the festivities of Christmas for 1 year and indulge themselves in a vacation. And as we look at Thanksgiving and plan for Christmas, there's lots of preparation that's involved. And what I would say for myself now, being responsible for my own family and how we celebrate, the fuss is really worth it when you get together. It's just a great thing to sit and talk and have fun and play games with people that you love. Obviously, in our family as well, We did not all get together. The ones that did, we were blessed and prayed for the others. This morning, I want to use as the focus the psalm that you shared, Psalm 29, with the theme that we are all going through challenging times in our lives. For some, it's health. For some, it's relationship. For some, it's doubt and grief. For others, it can be depression. And the question is, how as believers do we overcome that and live a life that is full of purpose and joy in spite of the fact that we're going through a really challenging time? Psalm 29 says that a key is that God wants to give his strength to his people. The theological term that we use to describe God's strength is omnipotence. And it's a word that it's just so powerful. And it means that within the limits that God has established for himself, such as our free will, that he is able to do anything, anywhere, at any time. And he wants to share his strength with us in our time of need. The psalm just before 29, 28, 7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield." That's an offensive as well as a defensive promise from the Lord. Offensive in that he is my strength to do what I'm called to do, and his shield in that I'm able to have protection from that which comes against me. So the concept that I'd like to leave with you this morning is that the Lord is both powerful and empowering. He himself is omnipotent, all-powerful. But at the same time, he wants to share that power, that strength with us. And Psalm 29, to me, is just a perfect example of that. It's why I asked Joanne to put it in the bulletin for this week. The concept is David, who wrote this, is looking out at the Mediterranean Sea, and he sees a storm that is brewing over the ocean that's about to make landfall and come into the desert part of Israel. And a desert storm is just a terrifying thing to go through. Everything that you can see is taken out of your sight, and everything that you see can be torn apart. So David uses that idea of a storm from the Mediterranean coming on land as a word picture to describe God's power. We start at verses 4 and 5. The Lord's voice is powerful. The Lord's voice is majestic. The Lord's voice breaks the trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. You may remember that when Solomon built his temple, he ordered trees from Lebanon to be used in its building because they were so strong and so effective. The cedars of Lebanon, think about this, could be 30 feet wide. We have some rooms that aren't that wide in our homes, and 12 stories high. So these are gigantic trees. And the verse says that God's voice breaks the cedars of Lebanon. Just his voice. Just as he speaks, they're that powerful. And David is saying that a mere whisper from God's lips is powerful enough to turn a huge tree into kindling. And to me, that's a part of what I was meditating on this week, the force and power of God's voice and word in our lives. In verse 6, he says, "He makes the land of Lebanon dance like a calf, and Mount Hermon jump like a baby bull." Mount Hermon is a 9,000-foot mountain, and David is saying that God's voice is this powerful. When my brother and I were younger, our mom did not have a washing machine. She washed by hand, and then she had a wringer. And then she would take the clothing and the sheets out into the backyard on the line. And I picture what this verse is saying like this, that when a wind would come, those sheets would just be ruffled by the wind. They would be blown by the wind, sometimes off the line, but it would have a big impact. And this is saying that God's voice, as it moves across the desert land, is like that drying sheet on the line, that it is having a powerful effect. Let's just take a moment to pray. Something's going on outside that some of our guys are helping with. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we speak peace to this situation, whatever it is. That we celebrate the Prince of Peace, Lord, and I pray that your peace would come upon this lady, whatever she's facing, and that our folks would have the wisdom on how to deal with it. And we give you thanks for that in Jesus' name. Amen. The pandemic has been an interruption in our lives like that. We hardly know what's going on and how we deal with it. But the concept is that God's word, God's voice, is so powerful that it can disrupt, it can change even the topography of an area. And then in verse 7, the Lord's voice makes the lightning flash. Think about that. Think about lightning. A bolt of lightning releases 100 million volts of electricity in a moment at a temperature 5 times hotter than the surface of the sun. And so one word from the Lord is more powerful than all the lightning in the 1,800 thunderstorms going on around the world today. That's the power that is in his word, in his voice. Think about going back to Genesis, let there be light. With a word, creation began. Let there be a separation from the day and the night. Let vegetation come forth. That's the power of the word. That's the strength of our Lord, and it is that strength that is available for your life and my life. In verses 8 through 9, the voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The Lord's voice shakes the oaks and strips the leaves off the trees. Kadesh was in the south. Mount Hermon was in the north. And this verse is saying that God's power flows across the entire land. What that means for me is it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what is going on in your life. God's word, God's power is available to you in the same way that storm that David saw coming off the Mediterranean enveloped the entire land of Israel and had a powerful effect. And so then the question comes in the psalm, what's our response to that, to hearing the strength and the power of God's word? That's in verse 9. In his temple, everyone says, glory to God. What can you do but to say, God, I am utterly amazed at who you are and the strength of who you are. Glory be to you, Lord. And that was the worshipers in the temple. Then we go into verses 10 and 11. And this is where a very special thing happens that is the focus of what I want to share with you. The Lord controls the flood. Think of the days of Noah. That's over. The Lord will be king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. The Lord is not only powerful, but he wants to empower us today. And it doesn't matter where you are, where I am, we all need God's strength in one place in our lives. We need an intervention from him in our lives to allow us to get through and to prosper in what he's called us to do. The Bible says that he is able. This past week, one of my granddaughters, who currently lives in Columbus, was delivering pizzas, part-time job, and while she was doing that, her car was stolen, which had her purse and her phone and her credit cards in it. And it was a horrible thing. And she did the thing that Christians would do. She and her mom prayed. And by God's grace, the Columbus police found the car. They have it back. And it was a blessing to get it back because they just have one car. But the concept is, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you're facing. That God is powerful and he is able to intervene on your behalf. In the book of Ephesians, Paul says in 3:20, all glory to God who is able through his mighty power to work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. I can dream about great things that I would like God to do in my life, in the life of my family. The omnipotent God is able to do so much more abundantly than we can ask. Imagine in the gospel that we heard for today in Mark, that when Jesus comes back in the clouds, the angels will go and gather believers from every country, from every place on earth, who have named the name of Jesus and gather them together. That's impossibly beyond my ability to picture in one little understanding. But that is a part of what it means that he is able, that if you are open, if you are vulnerable, he is able. A few weeks ago, I spoke about the fall of the city of Jericho and how the plan of attack was simply to walk around the city for 7 days. They had no weapons other than a ram's horn. And as they marched on the seventh day, the walls fell in so in such a way that the Israelites could go in and completely take over the city. Prior to going in, Joshua said to them, "Be strong and courageous." And to me, that's a part of what I believe we need to hear for ourselves today. We are facing an extended pandemic that it was said that it would be over by summer when the weather heats up. It hasn't happened. It's gotten worse in the fall. And so what is our call? It is not to be hopeless and fearful, but it is to be strong and courageous. This pandemic can be like Jericho. We understand that vaccines are coming. That's a good thing. But our strength is not in vaccines. Our strength is in the God who created everything and who called us to live at this time as his witnesses. It's not until we are open and vulnerable and say, "Lord, I can't do this," that he is able to come then and give us strength on the inside as well as on the outside to accomplish what he's called us to do in our lives. In the New Testament, there are many examples of how the Lord does this. In the book of Acts chapter 3, early on, Peter and John were in the temple courtyard, and a man who was lame was asking for an offering. He was asking for coins to buy bread for the day. And Peter and John said to him, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." They didn't have the coin that he wanted, but they gave him something far more miraculous, which was a restoration of his life, a restoration of that was way beyond. He hoped to survive that day. He never expected to walk again. And that is the miraculous, wonder-working power that David speaks about in this psalm. And then think about Paul, who prior to coming to faith was Saul. He was a persecutor of Christians who threw them in jail, who had them whipped. And then as he was on his way to Damascus to continue this campaign, he was accosted by Jesus in a vision. As Jesus said, "I am Jesus who you are persecuting." His life was transformed. He became blind for a few days. He became in effect the 12th apostle after Judas fell. And he wrote more of the New Testament than anyone else, most of the epistles. He had a powerful transformation because he understood that the God of the universe was also Jesus, that Jesus was God's word. When God spoke, that was Jesus. His life was transformed. That is the power that is available to us. What you and I are facing is simply a battle in which we have to say, "Lord, I am not able," as the Israelites did around Jericho. "Lord, I don't know what to do, but I can march in faith and believe that you're going to do something." And the promise of Psalm 29 is that he will. I'll close with that verse 11 again. "The Lord gives strength to his people." I need God's strength in my life. And if you need his strength in your life, ask him in Jesus' name and see what he's able to do. The Lord bless you this week. Let's stand together now and confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people on page 5 of the bulletin. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church,
that we all may be one.
Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you,
that your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons, especially Archbishop Welby, our presiding bishop Curry, our own bishops Hollingworth and Love,
that and especially they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments.
We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world,
that there may be justice and peace on the earth.
Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake,
that our works may find favor in your sight.
Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble,
that they may be delivered from their distress.
Give to the departed eternal rest,
and let light perpetual shine upon them.
We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us. Reveal to us the initiatives we should take for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, and for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement you have provided us in this season. We are grateful for the lay leadership and shouldering of extra burdens. Lord, we ask that you lay bare the hearts of this congregation and open each one of us to every new day. Open us to what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbors. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. The peace of the Lord be with you. Now share that with those close and at a distance.
Morning. Good morning. I don't have any announcements.
Amen.
I think we've heard it all. Dick is traveling. He'll be back next Sunday. Anybody have any announcements? It's a great day. It's not raining. Go. Amen. Thank you for that. No other announcements? We'll continue on, Paul. Peace of the Lord be with you.
As the offering is brought forward, please stand and join with me in the doxology. Praise God, of whom all blessings flow. Praise Him below, ye heavenly. Praise Him above. I suffered a complete brain fog as I tried to lead you in the doxology. I'm glad you were more capable. Let's join now in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Because you sent your beloved Son to redeem us from sin and death and to make us heirs in him of everlasting life, that when he shall come again in power and great triumph to judge the world, that we may without shame or fear rejoice to behold his appearing. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. O holy, holy, holy Lord, O God of power, God of might, the heavens and earth are filled with your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord our God. Blessed, blessed is he who comes. Hosanna in the highest. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in the last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you delivered us from evil, made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. And we remember that in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread, and he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup, and he gave to them and said, "Take and drink of this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and the blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son and his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where, with all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Just before we pray, I just want to encourage you. I was moved by the prayer that was just offered up to the Lord. I want you to take the bulletin home and reflect on that in your quiet time this afternoon. It's quite edifying. Let's join together in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. These gifts of God are for the people of God. I invite you to come in faith and receive. Please join with me in the post-communion prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. The blessing is a familiar one to many of you. It's number 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.